write it up, don't I? Sweet baby, Sharpie. Okay, you get. Yeah, probably worth asking.
All right. Is there an agreement about dividing time between Bailey and Sharp today?
No, Judge, I just assume we had 10 minutes, and there's no reason we need more than that.
Okay.
So unless it's a long time. Opinion.
Very fine. Please approach.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Greg Abood representing the appellants Tamara Bailey and Tony Sharp in the case against the appellees NBC Construction, and this involves a automobile accident that occurred in a construction project for the city of Omaha that NBC was performing for them per their contract. A couple issues that we have on this. Number one deals with what we consider to be a material change in testimony from the representative of NBC Construction during the trial from what he had presented during depositions and discovery. And then secondarily, we have issues of the jury instructions are our two primary focuses on the appeal. When I look at this case, I look at it as similar to what I do when I have new law clerks that come in and I'm trying to teach them the civil litigation process, and I explain to them that the complaint is our allegations and that that becomes somewhat of a checklist for us. And as we go through the process of discovery through interrogatories and depositions and such, as we get admissions as we go along, we check things off that complaint that have been agreed upon or admitted to. In this particular case, we took the depositions and did discovery involving the representative of NBC Construction, Mr. Brown, and in his explanation of the layout of the work zone that he admitted that they were in charge of and that he handled, he explained the barricade setup. And based upon his factual representations of how the work zone was established and set up, we hired expert witnesses who formulated opinions as to the appropriateness of how the work zone was maintained while Mr. Brown and NBC Construction were in charge of it. Specifically, it dealt with how the barricades were set up. And during the course of the trial, Mr. Brown said, I made a mistake in my depositions. I was wrong when I told you we set them up in this particular fashion. We didn't set them up that way. We set it up not with what are three-tier barricades, but we had barrels there, which is substantially different from what he had told us in his not one but two depositions as well as any discovery materials, and there were never any notifications of any changes. This setup is what our expert witnesses based their expert opinions on and what was presented to the jury in trial before he testified. After their testimony with Mr. Brown testified, it's our position that he saw that there was a situation where he needed to adjust his testimony to, I guess from our perspective, throw off the proof that we had, I think, alleged and shown to the jury. And by changing his testimony to the setup and how the barrels were used instead of these type 3 barricades, he could and did say that anybody could have moved those barrels. That's not our problem. There could have been an intervening cause in there, as opposed to the 3-tier barricades, which are big and heavy and hard to move and adjust. The concept on the factual basis of this case are that Ms. Bailey was driving down 96th Street between Hugh and Harrison while that area was under construction. She stopped into an apartment complex that was on the west side of that street to see if her daughter's car was in the parking lot. She resided there. As she came out of that apartment complex exit and was going to continue southbound on 96th Street, there were no barricades blocking the right lane or the south, what would normally be the southbound lane of 96th Street. Those barricades had been turned over to the side of the road and were facing parallel with the street. And so she proceeded down that paved roadway until the pavement ended. She ran into a road grader, causing personal injury. The the facts that Mr. Brown then alleged were that we didn't have three type 3 barricades there to block that roadway. Those were just barrels and anybody could have moved them, which was different from what he told us in his depositions.
So a couple of things. You had a chance to cross-examine him at trial with regard to inconsistent statements in that regard. Correct.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then separate, you say that you're prejudiced by it because your experts based their testimony on an earlier deposition. Did you move for a continuance or anything like that? Try and get more time for your experts to deal with the inconsistencies?
No, Judge, we didn't. This is at the end of the trial, and as you know from trying cases, it's somewhat difficult to stop and go with expert witnesses because we do them by a videotape deposition, and the practicality of that is essentially you're having to do a mistrial. And while that may have been an option, and I know that the appellees say that may be the route we should have taken, I don't think that's borne out by the case law, and in particular we're following the template that was set out in Moments versus Nebraska Methodist Hospital. And in there, they follow the template where you file a motion for new trial based on this. And that's what we did. Unfortunately, at the motion for new trial, and I guess the biggest, the primary issue right off the top is that the trial court judge didn't allow us to present and wouldn't receive into evidence the prior depositions of Mr. Brown, which was the basis for the new trial or the motion for the new trial. So we weren't allowed to present the evidence of the inconsistency in his testimony as a basis for a new trial. So first and foremost, as a first step, we think that there's error there. And secondarily, and more further answer to your question, the Moments case seems to be the template for this kind of a material change in testimony. And that's how that was handled. Yeah. I should point out... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, can you get into the OSHA regulation issue that you raised?
Right. So... I want to mention another case we did rely on, a New Jersey case, TJ versus Goldberg, was reversed since we filed our brief. I just want to make that clear because we didn't have a chance to correct that.
Thank you.
But in regard to the OSHA violation, so the city contract required the MBC to comply with all OSHA regulations. And I believe that was acknowledged by Mr. Brown in his testimony. There may be some dispute about that, but he did read that portion of the contract to the jury. OSHA violations, as the court's aware from the case of Orduna versus
Total Construction,
set forth the standard that in a negligence action, a jury can consider violations of OSHA. And there's a specific instruction on that in Orduna. And based upon that, we tendered a similar instruction to the court, which I think mirrored the Orduna instruction. That instruction was refused. We felt that our expert's testimony, Dr. Stentz, which went into extensive detail about how the work zone setup violated OSHA regulations, was a critical part of our case. And at the conclusion of the trial, without any objection from the defense, the judge arbitrarily and unilaterally just threw out that testimony. That complication is that his testimony was so intertwined with other regulations that we felt that prejudiced also. Unless you want more explanation on that, I'll
No, I mean, that's my understanding of how there was no motion to strike, no anything. After the jury instruction conference, the court went back to the jury and instructed them to disregard all testimony with respect to OSHA.
Correct.
And then also withdrew Exhibit 15, which was the OSHA regulation itself.
Yeah, that's correct.
But wasn't there objections at trial, just not on the basis of relevance?
Well,
that there was some objection on hearsay and perhaps another one.
That it was cumulative.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't specifically recall that. It was a videotaped deposition. Things were very congenial on that aspect of it, but there could have been. I can't recall specifically on that. I'll reserve the remainder.
Thank you,
Bob. Thank you.
Your Honors, may it please the court, my name is Raymond Walden, representing MBC Construction in this action, this appeal. I guess on one level, this case is about, did the judge do something wrong enough that a new trial is needed? And I believe the briefing establishes no, and the record that he did it right. There was no prejudicial error. If anything, there was harmless error, and I don't think it was even error, but the jury's decision was really on the merits of did they prove their case to begin with. It never got to the defenses because the instructions, the jury filled out the forms that said did not meet their burden of proof for the plaintiffs.
I'm going to ask a couple of specific questions because I want to make sure I understand your argument in that regard. In Simon versus OPPD, the Supreme Court said a violation of an administrative rule or a private safety regulation is independent evidence of negligence under all the circumstances, provided an expert witness incorporates the regulation in his opinion as to the issuable act of negligence. As I understand it, Mr. Stentz or Dr. Stentz incorporated that OSHA regulation and said that's part of the standard of care. Under those circumstances, then, the OSHA regulation and Orduna, it was relevant in this case. Would you acknowledge that?
No, because the OSHA regulations apply to particular situation of the, how an employer makes a workplace safe for its employees.
But doesn't Orduna take care of that and say, no, it applies to a third-party case like this one?
No, Orduna... kind of was the situation of when members of the public, can come into the workplace in the same situation as the, are legitimately there in the same situation as the employee is, then you can take those regulations protecting the employee and say, well, they are a standard of care as to somebody else coming in. In this case, it was a trespasser somewhere, going past, barrels or a type 3 barricade. She knew that she wasn't supposed to be there. She should have. She was on the right part of the road, the open part of the road. She turns right, goes through an opening in the construction into that apartment complex, comes back out. Instead of going back to where she had been coming, a couple of minutes before, she turns early and goes down.
Yeah, doesn't that beg the question? Their position is, you didn't set the barricades route. She found her way into this construction zone. And therefore, now she's in this construction zone. This OSHA regulation separately provides that you have to barricade in front of a paver, and you didn't. I mean, at that point, doesn't that OSHA regulation come in?
I don't believe so because she wasn't legitimately there. You don't get to be a trespasser and have all the protections of the law. Even on your premises liability, that's the one thing that we...
Does she have to know that she's a trespasser?
I don't think she's kind of entitled to... spend the night drinking and then wander into the wrong place.
No, and I understand that you have evidence that would indicate that she did. But when the claim is she didn't know she was in the wrong place, and the barricades weren't there to keep her from getting into the wrong place.
Well, that was actually a fact issue for the jury. Were the barricades there? They took some pictures at some point showing the barricades, out of the way. Showing it to Mr. Brown, the project manager, he says, well, when those pictures were taken, it's not showing them as being in the right place. But the evidence isn't there that they were in the wrong place, the night of the accident. In fact, the evidence had to do, that supposedly changed. I mean, it did change, but in just one particular that... he thought originally there were two of the big type 3 barricades were in place, and then as he got to look preparing for trial, he sees Well, that might not be right. So he goes back and checks with the Todco, you know, person who was on, you know, in charge of the project, and, you know, who sets up the barricades, realized, oh no, there was really only one of those big type threes there. Otherwise, barrels, you know, protecting against, you know, that taking that turn early coming out of the apartment complex. And so it was not, you know, as implicated a you know, meeting the exigencies of trial. It was legitimately finding out that he was wrong the first time around. And so then there's another deposition 6 days before trial, lays out, you know, what he now knows to be, you know, the true story. He's cross-examined at trial comparing, you know, yeah, his original deposition with what he testified at trial, which matched what was in that second deposition. So we know what the inconsistencies were through the trial testimony. That was exploited. That was put before the jury. And they still decided that there was not a breach of the standard of care, you know, with respect to the warnings, which was really what the case was about.
Okay, so go back. So with regard to the OSHA regulation, during, this was expert, it was a deposition of an expert that was played live for trial, right?
Right.
Mr. Stenson's testimony. There was no objection as it relates to the relevancy of the OSHA regulation at trial, right? It was, you objected on the basis that it was cumulative or hearsay, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, assuming that we find that it was relevant, explain to us how that testimony was cumulative. The OSHA evidence was cumulative in this particular.
Well, because it had to do with, you know, what do you need to put on the paver or in front of the paver to warn you that there's something, you know, there. I mean, there's a drop off the pavement ends out in the dirt is the paver. They say, well, it has to be either, you know, marked reflectively or with, you know, some barricade you know, in front of it. So this is after the, well, and they had testimony otherwise, not based on OSHA, you know, from experts saying that the standard of care was that, put, you know, an equivalent standard of care.
So specifically that was Mr. Lynch.
Yes.
And he was their accident reconstruction specialist, and he said that in connection with his opinion on causation, correct?
Yes.
So isn't Mr. Stentz's opinion one of the standard of care, as opposed to an opinion as it relates to causation?
Well, but Lynch is basing his, you know, his testimony to an extent on what are the, you know, what's the standard of care, you know, as he was seeing it. So that evidence was in. You know, it was just cumulative to say, oh, and by the way, it's this OSHA thing that applies to employees, but, you know, the trespasser, you know, applies to, too. I think the judge said Arduna doesn't apply in that situation and properly kept that out. And I asked that the, they haven't quite expired.
So, let me maybe ask a little broader question, though, with the procedural aspect of this, of allowing the evidence in, but then later telling the jury to disregard it. Could that have been misleading and confusing to the jury in reaching its verdict?
I don't think that it would be misleading. You know, I don't believe it's misleading. I mean, the judge was clear about what he's telling them to do, that this is not relevant. Ignore this. I think it was Exhibit 15. Ignore this one. Ignore the particular testimony about it. And if it hurt anybody, it would have hurt us because the jury had all that testimony there. I had heard about that exhibit, and, you know, they could always think, well, you know, we don't have to quite go by what that judge just said because we just heard all that. So I would ask that the court, you know, sustain the verdicts. It was, you know, verdicts arrived at through, you know, a fair process, and, you know, they had their chance, and it wasn't at the end of trial that the choice comes up on the altered testimony, what to do about it. It's, 6 days before trial, they now have this new deposition. This is different. You know, they can, you know, make, take some steps, you know, there to prevent the guy from testifying on this, or once he testifies, strike it, substitute that first deposition testimony in place of it. Could have asked, didn't ask about that. The mistrial is another thing they could have, asked, the judge to do, didn't ask that. You know, they just, when they made the, used it to try to impeach the guy, the jury didn't accept that and found, properly for the defense. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
How much time did he go over?
36 seconds.
Okay. Add that, please.
Okay.
What does he have in total, then?
That would give him 1 minute and 35 seconds.
Counsel. Judge. May it please the court. If what Mr. Waldine said was true, we probably wouldn't be here on the issue of the material change in circumstances. And I appreciate he didn't do the depositions and he didn't do the trial, but that didn't come up in the second deposition, and that's part of the record, and you can check it. And that's part of why we did the motion for a new trial and included the depositions as exhibits, even though they were not received. There was never anything about talking to Todd Coe and realizing that I made a mistake in my first deposition. I would have expected that to happen in the second deposition instead of at trial. That isn't the way it played out. And that's why we're claiming foul here, is he had a chance to tell us, guess what? I talked to Todd Coe a month ago, and I made a mistake in my first deposition. Let me correct that for you here. Now we're doing the second deposition. We didn't hear that. So that's part of why we think it falls under the Moman template of a material change in circumstances based upon the exigencies of the trial and the realization of, I got to fix this because I got a problem here. And that's where the unfairness and the prejudice comes in. And that's why we're here before you on that issue specifically.
You're requesting a new trial.
Yes, Judge. And that's what we ask the court to do here. Unless there's any other questions. So. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Matter submitted. Next case on the call this morning, 19-0421, Shedrack versus Ambassador Health of Omaha.